You may have heard of us, but you might not know Bank First is a community bank that has no fee ATM access, interest and perks earning checking accounts. With online and mobile banking, mortgages for every stage of life, and modern business banking for businesses, small and big. We keep it all together to put you first. Do you bank with us? You should. Bank First is an equal housing lender and a member FDIC.
Well, welcome to Sunday Coffee. I'm Bart Gregory along with Charlie Winfield. We're in the Farm Bureau studios here in downtown Starkville this morning. A morning after a complete, utter debacle. Charlie, I don't know. I started trying to think about how to come in here this morning. And usually one of the great things that we do, one of the reasons we started the show, was to get a good night's sleep, come back in here with a rational thought, try to be the adults in the room, try to present both sides of the pancake, as they say. And
I've never heard anybody say both sides of the pancake. That's okay.
Okay. Usually have both sides of the pancake have the grill or the griddle.
I'm not.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I'm with it. I just have never heard it. So,
okay.
That's a Nattawoya colloquialism.
But, so last night, we did a Twitter space, talked about last night's game, which was
good. That went off the rails as bad as the umpiring, I'm afraid.
It did. And then I decided, okay, I'm going to hit the Twitter trail last night. So I was up to about 2 o'clock. And then I listened to gospel music driving up here this morning. I'm trying anything in my mind to get mentally ready for today.
It's funny you say that because I was up till about 3. I woke up at 5:30. And my mind was just going. But the thing that hit me when I woke up was I'm going to have a very difficult time getting in a good headspace.
I was yesterday I went to Julia played AAU basketball. And then Sims played travel baseball. And we both had situations yesterday where you had irrational parents for the other team. Thank goodness it wasn't ours. And in my mind, I was sitting there kind of like, man, how do you get in that mental state? That's the mental state I'm in right now. And I can't get past it. And also, I'm going to be a little bit selfish here from a standpoint of what I was having a difficult time with last night is you and I have to broadcast this baseball game today on the SEC Network Plus. And I'm trying to figure out how to get past what we saw last night to make people understand what you saw. And okay, but let's brass tacks thing. If you went to bed at 8 o'clock last night, if you worked outside all day and you were tired, I got into bed and, hey, what happened? I guess we need to say what happened. In the 8th.
You ever see Hamilton?
Yes,
I
did.
The Broadway show.
I did.
There's a great song in there, What Did I Miss? Thomas Jefferson. I was thinking about this morning, that exact thing. We have some friends who are early to bed kind of people. And they woke up this morning having no idea all the things they missed in the Twitter world. And there's more than just baseball, although baseball, the topic at hand. So I still can't speak. I've read. I've tried to study. I know we've sought out information from
I've emailed the SEC office, yeah. I've emailed the office, haven't heard anything.
And not to be clear, not in a, hey, what are you guys doing, but a, hey, we want to give an accurate explanation of this idiocy. I think you left out the idiocy
part. I didn't say idiocy. I said clarity multiple times in my
clarity.
Email.
Clarity. Yes, we were seeking clarity. We have not received any such clarity as of the date and time of this recording.
And this is first thing on a Sunday morning, and this is Sunday Coffee on the Out of Left Field podcast channel, brought to you by our friends at Strange Brew Coffee House. And I am drinking Strange Brew Coffee this morning, just straight black coffee, Charlie, because I have a hardened heart this morning.
My friend Ted tells me that we undervalue the Southern pecan.
Okay.
So if you just aren't in the blueberry cobbler mode, and right now.
I'm not.
I am.
I need something strong in my Strange Brew Coffee this morning.
So here's my thing, and I said this last night. Baseball is a sport over the years that more than any other takes care of itself. Baseball regulates itself. It's not like hockey where you drop the gloves and you go at it and then you send two guys to the respective boxes for 5-minute penalties. But baseball handles itself. What what we have done and what we saw last night deprived both of these teams of what they – look, we'd seen by this time, what, 17 innings of good baseball?
Yeah.
And 16, whatever the math is, right? And we deprived ourselves of seeing that at the end. And
quite possibly today, too.
Well, and I'd say probably, because as we're sitting here, we still don't have an explanation
of
the league.
Well, because most of the decision makers are probably somewhere out in the desert right now watching, realizing Alabama had a basketball team for the first time in history.
So let me ask you, here's the thing that frustrates me. And I get it. I understand that baseball has rules, and I understand the competition committees and these type characters, most of whom have no idea about actually playing the game, come up with rules. But it's kind of like one of the things I rebel against in my personal life are people who hide behind policy. Why are you doing this? Well, hey, it's our policy. We got to enforce the policy. Policies and rules at some level are tools for idiots and the cowards. Because at some point, you have to be
cowards
able to look around and say, hey, for 1 minute, let's not worry about what some guy sitting in his mom's basement using a fake Twitter name is saying. Let's decide right now what is right. Let's search for some justice.
And
Hunter Hines, that's one of my favorite pictures, the college baseball 11.7 account.
Yeah.
You know, he was out of control and had to be subdued. He's got his palms up basically saying, everybody calm down. And you want to take that guy in what is probably his last year and sit him for a game and a half? It's idiocy.
Well, baseball is also a sport that's different than football. If you have situations where somebody leaves the bench in football, you've got a flag to throw. You've got a personal foul you can throw. Basketball, if they go to the monitor, who left the benches, you've got a personal foul or you have a technical foul that you can enforce. Baseball does not have that. What you had last night was essentially Starkville PD pulling over the home plate umpire heading to the ballpark, and if he's going 46 and a 45, arresting him and saying, you're reckless driving. That's at the end of the day, and we've all been in meetings, Charlie, you always have that one person, and this is not a knock. I mean, you always have that one person, hey, now this is what the rules say. The rules say this. Now we have to enforce the rules. If we don't enforce them here, what's going to happen next week? But then what you have is people sitting around the table says, all right, guys, listen, 10,000 feet, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
That's all right.
And
that guy was out for pizza. What are we doing here, guy? Was out for pizza last night.
He was watching the Alabama basketball game because he realized that was the first time they'd ever played basketball. Okay, sorry. What had happened was, in the bottom of the eighth inning with two outs, Georgia hits a double, guy's trying to score from first base. Relay comes to Imani Larry, throw it to the plate. Johnny Long tags the guy out at the plate. Well, yeah, he tags the guy out. And I know the Mississippi State side of this, and some of the people have said that Carter came in, lowered the shoulder, trying to punch him in the knee. I don't see that. I didn't see that at all. And let's lay this out here right now. What Johnny did probably went a little too far.
No, I'll even take the probably off.
Yeah, he went.
If you're going to eject him from the game, I got no beef.
Yep. If you're going to throw him out of the ball game last night.
And I'm also not coming down on him because, nope. Let me say this.
Oh, I'm going there too. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
How many – for the past two seasons, we have come in here and said, and rightfully so, that this is a team that needs a little brass, that this is a team when your first baseman gets trucked, that this is a team when the other team bat flips towards your pitcher and stares down your dugout, that somebody other than the guy who is hurt and actually not on the roster needs to get tossed. And now and then, now I don't know the context, meaning I don't know if those guys have been jawing at each other. I don't know what was going on. From my spot in the outfield, I have no idea. Now, I would like to know, I would love for somebody to tell me, hey, man, there was a lot of context. He'd been hearing it from the dugout, what have you. You get it.
I get it.
You would love to know, and there may be, there may not be, I don't know. But at the end of the day, what we saw under the rule was a situation where, in fairness, a guy should have been ejected, and at the same time, I'm not mad about it because I am in a position with this team where I want us to have to rein some people in for being overly competitive. And that is one of the reasons that, yeah, you ought to get run, and I'm not mad at you.
Yeah, I'm not mad at you either. And then
stupidity occurs.
And I keep going back. Okay.
And I want to be – I'm fighting a rule. I'm fighting a system. I'm fighting – and I guess I need to let you finish saying what happened before I – react some more. So pick up with where you were.
Okay, so the tag of the plate, it was a hard tag, and then Johnny, you know, got a little overzealous. Our players are running off the field because it is the third out of the inning. Hunter Hines is standing between, you know, second base, or, you know, the second baseman position and the plate because he's in a cutoff position. And then all of a sudden you see guys kind of jawing at the plate. The umpire grabs our catcher. And so the instinct is for any player in that situation who is coming off the field, and what we had guys do is run in and try to de-escalate the situation. I mean, you start thinking about and start looking at who all got ejected in that game. And it is just mesmerizing when you see Dakota Jordan from right field thrown out of the game. He didn't leave his position with one out to come in there to fight. He's coming off the field. Bryce Chance, for goodness sakes. Bryce Chance, are you serious? Logan Kohler got thrown out. Amani Larry, who made the throw to the plate from the outfield, has to run right by home plate. I don't understand the thought process. And I'm going to go back to this. And so, long story short, you had a brouhaha and you had a 45-minute delay.
And no punches were thrown.
Not one was thrown. And so Wes comes out, and he wants to challenge of whether – I know what he's wanting to challenge. He's wanting to challenge of whether there was obstruction with a catcher. Of is he in the baseline to make the runner go around? Mm-hmm. Because you're seeing that in Major League Baseball a lot. Well, the throw – brought Johnny up the line for a couple steps. It put him in the line of sight, or put him in the line coming down the third base side, which allows you to do that. So there is no obstruction. And then all of a sudden, we're going to go back to review. Mind you, this is an SEC game, so this review is happening in Birmingham. We don't know who that person is. We don't know if that person's dad pitched at Georgia. We saw that in Alabama football game a few years ago where the guy's dad was a quarterback at Alabama, was a side judge. The lack of transparency in that whole issue right there is what drives you crazy, because you don't know who is making the decision, why are they making that decision. So this goes on for 45 minutes, and then they start ejecting players. We end up playing in the ninth inning with Cal Steven in the outfield and left field, with Luke Dotson in the outfield. Cal Steven had pitched 100 pitches the night before. You want to start talking about player safety? Hey, what if Cal Steven, who has had a great 3 weeks of baseball, what if Cal Steven pulls a hamstring running after a fly ball last night?
And before you say that's crazy, Mariano Rivera missed a year in the major leagues shagging fly balls in batting practice.
You know,
he took a funny step and tore his leg.
He throws 100 pitches last night. Today's a rest day for him. But he's got to be out there because you only have a 25-man roster, so you don't have enough players to play.
All right, so brief point here on that. There were people last night in our derailed Twitter space. Well, you talk about a white-knuckle ride.
It was off the chain a little bit.
Yeah, I've had to learn how to work the power to take away the microphone. I've learned that since last night. So next time we'll be ready. But one of the questions we were asked is, why didn't we see Ethan Pulliam? Why didn't we see some other guys out there? You would have, but one of the things that happens on SEC weekends, you can dress out more people than are active to play. And so there are people in the dugout who are taking BP, traveling with the team, that kind of thing, but can't play. Now, they don't announce to you who those people are. I think you got a really good indication last night, because if you weren't in the game, if you're a position player, pretty good indication you weren't eligible to be in the ball game.
Yeah, and that's how you end up with Cal Steven playing in left field, with Luke Dotson playing in right field. Here are the guys that we know that were ejected. This is based upon, still have not got any official word. And when they threw all these guys out, they said, hey, we let the head coaches know. Well, Let us know. Let us know who's been ejected.
Yeah, hey, we took 45 minutes. Why not let's just get crazy here and take another 30 seconds and let people know what's going on.
So you know Imani Larry was thrown out. You know Dakota Jordan was thrown out. Hunter Hines was thrown out. Bryce Chance was thrown out. Logan Kohler was thrown out. Johnny was thrown out. Okay. Those were the guys we know. For Georgia, Gonzalez, the catcher, was tossed. Evidently. Hey, and I'm saying this, evidently, because we still have no idea. Logan Jordan was not in the game. Trey Phelps was not in the game. Slade Alford was not in the game late in the game. So I don't know if those are just defensive changes or if those are guys who were ejected.
I want to make one other thing clear from my standpoint. I hold absolutely zero ill will towards the University of Georgia over this.
Oh, and here's – okay.
This is not an anti-Georgia rant. Well, this is an Alabama football rant for me.
No, and I want to clarify this too, Charlie, and I feel like I'm kind of all over the place this morning because I'm not in a good mental state. A lot of times when things of this nature happen, I think back to the post-game show that you and I did in the Memphis football game. There was someone on the field that made that call that gave you the ill will, whoever the back judge was. This is a situation where I hold no ill will toward Jeff Head and the umpiring crew for last night. I don't at all. And, hey, listen, if you watch the ball game Friday night, I took a little exception to some of the strikes that were not called, and I probably went a little overboard a couple times. So, last night was not an issue that happened was a strike ball call or was it an out safe call. Those guys were essentially, and Chris Lamona said this in the post game. Those guys were essentially apologizing to the coaches last night and saying, guys, this is coming from back in the home office here. And I saw that one time, you know, Jeff is sitting there shaking his head. I mean, we've seen Jeff Head a lot. And sometimes the guys makes mistakes. We all do. But I guarantee you this, the SEC had an umpire that umpired a ball game in Baton Rouge this past weekend that did far more egregious things last weekend at Texas A&M than our guys did last night to get tossed.
Yes. I hadn't thought about that, but yes. Wonder if he was working the replay booth last night.
No, he was in Baton Rouge, okay. Umpiring a baseball game like nothing ever happened.
Well, all right, I guess at some point we got to move on to other things, but here's what I would have to say. Number one, you know, you never hear me come on this show and say, hey, the whole world's going soft and all this. Last night, though, if that's where we are in rules, if that's where we are in managing a game, then shame on us.
Well, I go back to the whole situation of usually, you know, you can talk yourself into, well, this is what they were seeing and this is what they were understanding. At no time in the next 24 hours, if anybody gives us an official word, Rule 24-8-3-5 says a player can't do this. Is not going to make me change my mind of what happened last night was a terrible decision.
There are more egregious acts that'll take place in the hallway of an all-girls Catholic school tomorrow than what we saw on that field. And you know what'll happen in that hallway? At St. Ursuline or wherever you want to pick? They're going to say, hey, y'all go to class.
Everybody shut your mouth.
Hey, shut up. Go to class. And what we saw last night was, I've said everything I have to say, I guess. I haven't. I've still got to process this.
And it came from the league. It came from the league office. It came from guys that were not at the ballpark who tried to make, I would say, a hastily made decision, but it took 45 minutes.
But how do you not throw out other people who were on the field?
I mean,
leaving the dugout. And we do not know. We were not party to the conversation. But if it is true that the message back to Chris Lemonis was we couldn't tell who they were, that's absurd.
Well,
we can't be penalized because our guys were in the field. Our guys were automatically off the bench, and they were automatically leaving their position because the inning was over.
And I'm about to say something that's unfair to a kid, right? I'm about to say something that's unfair. Clayton Chadwick hit a home run last night in the ninth inning. Congratulations, you hit a home run. Hey, you made a play. But he was right there at the dugout. I mean, he was right there at home plate.
Yeah.
He was talking at home plate.
He was as close to home plate then as he was when he took a swing.
And so it goes back to the whole thing. Hey, if we want to use rule books here, if we want to pull out 18-13 and say, and a player can't leave his place, was his place 2 feet away from the circle last night when all this is happening? And so, like I said, I'm not drawing him into the fire because
I have
zero ill will towards Georgia.
And you know, here's the other thing, and this gets missed. Might have lost the game anyway. My frustration is you could see it setting up. But I looked at somebody and said, hey, here's what's cool. We're gonna go to the eighth with both teams having 2, 3, and 4 due to hit. We were in the same place of each of our orders. And we were about to see something good. And we navigated that in the top of the eighth. We'd never got the chance to swing it in the bottom of the eighth.
No. You took the bat out of the hand of some of the top players in the league. And that was the thing that was more disappointing than anything. Hey, Robers, they had a pitcher playing in left field last night in the ninth inning. So, I mean, it was both teams. Zeldin had to bat for himself. Cal Steven had to bat for himself. Luke Dotson. Just the whole situation was a complete embarrassment for the Southeastern Conference and a complete embarrassment for the game of baseball. And, I mean, if I were to plant a seed into somebody over in Birmingham today, if I were to plant a seed about what needs to be said in a staff meeting, not tomorrow, but right now, get everybody together. As guys, we got to use some common sense.
Yeah, and my thing is this. I don't know what I read in terms of Twitter is right or wrong, but this idea that the league office isn't open till Monday. No.
Now, there's plenty of phone calls going on. Let me tell you, there should have been plenty of phone calls I made last night. I would think there were plenty of phone calls made last night. Hey, Charlie, you know who else plants seeds?
Well, do they plant seeds or make seeds?
They make seeds for you
that
to plant.
That other people plant.
And that's our good friends at Nutrient Ag Solutions.
Future sponsor, the Charlie Winfield Raised Garden. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, it's a raised bed.
Raised bed garden.
And they have that DynaGrow seed that's made to perform on your acres with a proven track record for consistent performance all year and year after year. DynaGrow Seeds delivers innovative seed solutions to maximize your local acreage. And if you're getting ready to put those seed in the ground over the Mississippi Delta, plant those thousands of acres with their corn, it comes up because they've tested it in their testing facilities. DynaGrow Seed is designed to thrive in your soil to maximize your yield potential. So book your seed today at your local Nutrient Ag Solutions or visit DynaGrowSeed.com to learn more.
And if you need some extra fertilizer, take the ruling from last night.
It was organic.
Rip it up and throw it out in the field. Stuff will grow everywhere.
Yeah, good friend Scott Cummings, and of course Jeff Tarsi, Mississippi State guy. And
that's probably not what Jeff Tarsi was looking for out of me this morning.
But you could definitely bag what you saw last night and spread that on a cornfield.
Oh,
I can guarantee that. But anyway, if you're a Delta farmer or if you're just a farmer in general and you're trying to figure out what fertilizer, what seed to use, our good friends at Nutrient Ag Solutions. All right, Charlie, this is Sunday Coffee presented by our friends at Strange Brew Coffee House. Go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. We talked about that good blueberry copper flavored coffee. The pecan coffee, is it Southern Pecan?
Southern Pecan, my friend Ted out in Dallas. He orders it.
Does he?
He is a religious. He gets the shipments.
Strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. They'll ship it to you. And so that's our good friends at Strange Brew Coffee House.
And when you do, tell them Ted sent you.
Yeah. And we are in the Farm Bureau studios here in downtown. Start with Farm Bureau. Go with the home team at Farm Bureau. You can check them out at favorites.com. Agents all across the state of Mississippi. Farm Bureau, home, life, auto, whatever you need in the insurance world. That's our good friends at Farm Bureau. Hey,
by the way, so in our show leading into this weekend, where you and I came on and said these were just going to be a bunch of slugfest, 12, 11 games, and couldn't wait around at the end of the game to get hits. And then I listened back after the game Friday, and Bart's like, you know, this isn't going to be some 2-1 ball game in the eighth. And I just
– And it was a 2-1. A
2-1 ball game in the eighth. And, you know, we checked out for several innings. In any event, I said on that show, I made reference to the fact that Mississippi has 82 counties, and I made a little comment about maybe that could be too many. But we'll leave it for another day. I don't know why I thought that. Maybe sixth grade civics class or something. But I got a tweet, and it was right, that Georgia has 159 counties. So Farm Bureau have to do a little more work over there. But I think that's going to be my thing from now on. You like to look at the weather. You are all into field orientation. I think my latest obsession is going to be how many counties.
You know, I think
the state of the team we are playing.
Well, okay. Well, I think Montana only has just a few. So they have this huge area.
I mean, can't you see like the local city council meeting? You know, quorum is one.
How many counties in Montana?
They have 56.
Okay. Well, it's more than I thought. I thought it was like 15, but there are 56 counties.
Texas has 254.
Mm.
I believe that's the most.
Yeah. Well,
Texas is a little bigger than Mississippi. Okay. We got to cover something else.
Yeah, we do. And that is the news that I started getting on the Twitter world last night as I was in a frantic, aggravated, disjointed state of mind. I also got a tweet last night, and you did too, Charlie. You saw this tweet about the University of Arkansas. Their men's basketball coach, of course, went to Southern Cal the other day, Eric Musselman, which should be a good fit, or better fit for Musselman out on the West Coast. And so that left an opening with our fine brethren in the Fayetteville area. And last night, we received media reports that one of the people that is interviewing for the job is our head men's basketball coach. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that is the reports that are out there.
We have some experience with this, don't we? You can draw a football parallel. The many years of Dan Mullen, and what I would say about it is this. One, people are going to move, and I think back, and my wife actually reminded me of this last night, about 3 in the morning, that at the end of the day, you got to have your allegiances in order. I mean, you can't be close to people, but how many times, you know, Jim Ellis, you say, let's support the school. But it's nice to have people working for you who other people want, whether it's in the Bulldog Club, whether it's in the accounting office, whether it's in ticket sales or somebody taking up parking, what you want are employees that other people want.
That is exactly right.
And you know what? Mississippi State stole my best employee of 14, 15 years, and I'm still bitter about it. But you know what? I love him. He's better off, et cetera. And
now,
so it's going to happen. Now, do I have no idea.
Zero.
I have no idea if it's true. I have no idea if it's a smokescreen. But my hope is that if it is not if it's not true, my hope is that it gets resolved quickly and that we hit the road here pretty quick saying, hey, I'm committed.
Well, that's what I was about to say is, you know, one of the things that you can take is how it was handled with Dan. And it was every year something coming out of a report putting Dan there. And so we have lived that, but it's also a good roadmap for a coach to understand how to handle things the right way. And that would be my only thing with Chris in this situation would be to make sure that you better handle this the right way.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing that's happened so much today is some of the things get taken away from you. You know, back when Dan was going through this, you know, there was a time we were all just figuring out what Twitter was. And back then, what it really meant was if you were on Twitter, you were getting notices on your phone coming through like a text message. It was basically a text group feel to it. Didn't even have the app for a little while. And then Twitter morphed and things became more and more known. But I remember early in Dan's career, you got people like sitting by the airport, like trying to see if there's a plane coming in that's got Penn State on it. You know, I mean, it was just people were obsessed, driving by Brian Field and that kind of thing. And so what you don't know anytime these things go on, too, is who is putting it out there and what is their agenda? Sometimes you have media people with agendas. They have tagged a lot of people for this job. Jerome Tang was taking the job until he wasn't. Chris Beard was taking this job until he wasn't. And so who knows how far this goes, how far it lasts. But you always just have to ask, who are the people? What are their motives? Are there agents? We don't know.
No.
We will know. I just don't know right now.
So stay tuned on that deal.
Hopefully no emergency spaces. Hey, you know what, though? If you're a romantic, and how can you not be romantic about baseball, by the way? But if you're a romantic and these suspensions hold up, that these guys are all out today, isn't there kind of like a stand of the 300 vibe here today? I mean, if we were to roll out there without Hunter Hines, without Johnny Long, without Kohler, without Monty Larry, et cetera, and we were to somehow win that game, I can promise you there will be an emergency space because that will be a heroic deal. The thing I think that probably frustrates me too, I guess I said I was going to let this go, but I'm not. I think the thing that frustrates me is because of where we are. This was the pivotal weekend.
This is a huge weekend of baseball for us.
Had this happened last weekend, I mean.
And Georgia too. This is a big weekend for Georgia too.
For both these teams.
For both teams. This is a huge weekend. And for someone last night to make an egregious, stupid decision, just idiotic. You said the word idiotic. That's a good word. This is an idiotic decision that was made last night. And
this has it's hard middle to get past management that. Bureaucrat written all over it. This is idiocy.
Well, and I said last night, I mean, whoever made the decision doesn't understand baseball. It would be like them calling me and say, hey, Bart, listen, everybody's out of town. They're watching Alabama play basketball for the first time ever. We need you to give us a ruling on an equestrian match that happened at Auburn. And I have no – or Texas A&M or wherever. I don't have a clue. I don't know. I don't know anything about equestrian.
But you know what I could do? I could look around and say, did the horses fight each other? No. Is anybody bleeding? No. Any spectators and any obvious trauma from the tragedies that unfolded before them? No. All right, redo.
Well, yeah.
Do it again.
And maybe I'm different because I have four children, man. I have four kids that range from the age of 19 to 9. And so I'm used to it. I'm used to every day just diffusing situations.
Well, no. I was telling somebody a story about you the other day, my all-time favorite story. Well, no, that's not true. I don't want to power rank my stories about your family. One of my favorite comments, though, that you have made was in moving to Nanawaya when you were talking about your son. You said, now and then in life, you just need your butt kicked. And if you're looking to get your butt kicked, somebody in Nanawaya will do it for you.
Yeah, you open your mouth, you'll get a shot.
Yeah. And so, last night, though, other than the little Johnny Long thing, nobody was looking to get their butt kicked. Nobody was looking to dish anything out. It was posturing. It was, oh, okay.
What I'd almost like to see today, when you start talking about the 100, whoever we start, we don't even know who we're pitching today. Neither does Georgia.
We don't know if TBA got tossed.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, TBA could have gotten tossed. We may end up with position players pitching today. What if you started the game today with a pitch behind the head and everybody just fought? Say, we're going to the house. We're all going to the house.
Let's just end this
thing. Let's all go to the house. Well, I tell you what.
And that's what – you know what really bothers me, I think, from my fan perspective. Now, from our job perspective, you and I got to get our heads right here pretty quick. And I don't know what that's going to entail, but we've got to get it out.
More gospel music.
Yeah, well, if I take some Rage Against the Machine, I'm not sure what I need. But so the thing I think that would frustrate me as a fan is if I go to that field today, I want somebody, and this is why I'm so mad now, I want somebody to hear me. I want to be able to talk to the manager. I'm going Karen on you here, okay? I want the manager. I want who's in charge. I want the decision maker to have to stand in front of this and to hear displeasure.
Yeah.
But man, we don't even know who it is.
Yeah.
No idea.
None.
And how can you have confidence in a system that's that blind?
Yeah.
And why the secrecy? What is so – we announce the guys who have to stand there and take it from the fans and the umpires. We all know that that's Jeff Head. We all know Malika's out there, right? We know who they are. Why does some guy locked in a closet with 15 monitors and some pizza, why the anonymity?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is now your imagination runs wild. Had he changed out the Diet Coke with something else?
Perhaps he needed some downers because somebody was just a little.
And, hey, I'll go back to what you just said, and I promise you I'm not beating this home. I want to go back to what you just said a few minutes ago when you said what we have seen this weekend. Georgia pitching has performed probably the best it has all weekend. We had some clutch hits in the game on Friday. Connor Hijack, that home run he hit Friday night was a massive home run. What you've seen is good baseball. You've seen good baseball this weekend until what happened last night in the bottom of the eighth. You've had great weather. You've had good crowds. You've had everything positive about growing a game and a great sport. Everything positive going into that. And then all of a sudden it was wrecked last night. And, hey, going back to Friday, it was chilly at the ballpark. And I did go by and get me a Bulldog Initiative sweatshirt that I was actually broadcasting in the other night. I hate to say I was broadcasting in, but I was. But and I got it at Maroon & Company, the Cotton Mill Marketplace. Maroon & Company, right there by Chick-fil-A. You can go to maroonandco.com, and they'll ship you anything, no matter where you are. You could be living in Barbados. They ship it to you. Maroonandco.com. And use the code NIL10. They'll give you a 10% discount, and they'll send 5% to the Bulldog Initiative. Charlie, I tell you, who wouldn't have a train wreck like we saw last night?
Did you know that Barbados, by the way, has one of the world's rarest collection of 17th century English iron cannon? They have a lot of cannons down there.
Do they really?
Or I'm not certain. I guess the plural of – I wonder if the plural of cannon is cannon or cannons.
Hey, cannon forward.
How about that for a segue?
Well, yes, sir. Go to Barbados, take a picture with a cannon, and send it back to our good friends at Cannon Ford of Starkville.
Wonder if you'll get anything for that.
Probably, yeah, they give.
Well, I bet they'll throw in an oil change or something.
They'll give you at least half off an oil change.
Okay.
And you can do that in the service center. And on Saturdays, too. They're open on Saturdays now. You can get an oil change, get tires rotated, anything you need in the service center. Also, the body shop, if you have a fender bender. But also, what they specialize in is new or used cars. And the lot is getting fuller and fuller, but they're going out the door just about as quick as they get them. And so that's our good friends at Cannon Ford of Starkville, Chris Keene and his fantastic staff. I had somebody call me the other day and was like, man, hey, I dealt with Chris last week and you guys wouldn't lie. That guy's a good dude. Yeah, he is a good dude. We wouldn't tell you anything. We would not tell you anything that is not true. Chris is an outstanding.
Certainly not knowingly.
Right. Well.
What do you think when Chris Keene was coaching Little League Baseball? What would his feelings be about last night?
Oh, man. You know, I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, we wore a little bit of an edge to us when we
squares the bunt, throw at him.
If he squares the bunt, you throw at him. You hit him right in the chest with it. Well, you know,
kids who walked away from the game, never to play again.
Yeah, it's all right. They may be selling cars for Chris right now. They may be thanking him for getting them out of the game right now.
I bet he'd give him a deal on a spray-in bedliner if nothing else.
He probably would. Hey, also on Friday, we talked about our good friends at Heartland Catfish. Heartland producing the finest U.S. farm-raised catfish you can possibly want. It's over in Itabena in the Mississippi Delta from their ponds to your plate. And they serve it at great restaurants and around the southeast, and they have it in grocery stores around the southeast. Look for that black and blue label, Heartland Catfish. It doesn't taste like mud. Now, that is not a part of their tagline. It doesn't taste like mud. It tastes like fish. But, hey, you can
I'll tell you what does taste like mud. That's the ruling from last night.
Yes, but that mud taste is not in their catfish, and they serve it at great restaurants, and one of the restaurants is the Gold Strike up in Tunica. And so if you go to Tunica, do a little playing and watch a little action up there. You can go to the buffet, get that great catfish, and it comes from our good friends at Heartland Catfish. All right, Charlie, you said it. Later today, we have a few hours now before game time. We've got to get in the mindset. I need to go for a walk. You're still doing your Starkville Stride deal?
Oh, yeah.
And when is that over?
On the 15th, I think. Maybe tax day, it's around there.
Yeah, I'm not in Starkville Stride, but I probably need to walk some of this off. I don't know if I'll get in a better mental state or not.
The Bulldog Initiative team is doing very well. I think we were 7th last I looked. We have one member bringing us down. We're going to have a little pep talk with them on Monday.
Well, either a pep talk or a suspension.
Well, I hear that's all the rage.
But can you replace them in the 9th inning?
I'll say this. I'll talk more harshly to that team member than Hunter Hines was talking to the opposing team yesterday.
I still can't believe what we saw last night. After talking our way through it, and I hate to just beat this dead horse, but dadgummit, I literally cannot believe what we saw last night from grown adults.
Hey, the next time you're sitting around with your friends and you're talking about the realignment of college football, and how things are going to get fixed, and we're going to go to this super conference, and the Big Ten and the SEC are going to figure all this out. remember,
the people that are making those decisions are guys that made decisions like you saw last night.
Yeah.
And that's why everybody's like, hey, they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they – I mean, do you really have a whole lot of confidence in some of the decision makers that are trying to figure it all out right now? I don't. Anyway, hey, appreciate you guys hanging out with us. And remember, if you're telling a friend of yours about this show – it is Sunday Coffee, but it is on the Out of Left Field podcast channel. So tell them to search for Out of Left Field.
You know, that's catching, by the way. I saw Jim Paxton at the game last night. He was talking about, I listened to Sunday Coffee on the Out of Left Field franchise.
He's a good dude, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And, hey, going back, you know, lost his brother John. We did as Mississippi State family about a month ago. John was about as good as it gets.
Oh, my goodness. And to put it in perspective, you talk about a guy who was a complete bulldog.
Yeah.
John was very sick, had been sick for a long time, and just days before he passed, he's at the Mississippi State-Kentucky basketball game.
Like 3 days before.
Yeah.
He was there.
And that's just how he was going to be. And every single time I saw him, he would stop, he would talk, and even though he was the one dealing with real life stuff, he was the one dealing with a terrible illness, every time I saw him, he had a kind word for me.
Yeah.
And that's
a good person. Just yeah. a good – I'll tell you, somebody else was a good guy. And I went to – you know, the older you get, it seems like all you do is when you're young, you go to a bunch of weddings. And when you're older, you go to a bunch of funerals. And last week I went to the celebration of life for a guy named Rayburn Parks up in Houston, and the Little General. And Rayburn was a longtime supporter, huge Mississippi State guy, funny guy, fun-loving guy, always had a great story. And there were a lot of people there, packed house, church, and he was just a – he was a character that – you know, there's a lot of those. There's a lot of people who helped Mississippi State for the longest time when we needed a lot of help from a financial standpoint that were huge Mississippi State guys. You hear coaches sometimes say standing in the gap. These guys stood in the gap. And I think about Rayburn Parks and then Hassel Franklin and those guys. We had a bunch of big supporters and have a bunch of big supporters in the town of Houston, Mississippi. And to see the town of Houston come together last week and talk so funny about Rayburn meant a lot. He was good to me too. And so we have so many of those people, so many relationships that we have and people that have passed on the past couple of years. And of course I hate to start mentioning one or two and then because you forget so many other ones, but those are two that really stand out, John Paxton and then Rayburn Parks in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, those are two big losses. And I do want to say this because you bring that up and, you know, it's really easy for us. And it was kind of like even we were doing our Twitter space last night, I was like, hey, guys, we're all the same team. Let's not all turn guns on each other here because everybody was just so frustrated. But I do very sincerely want to say to the people who reach out to us, to the people who listen, and let us be a little part of how you consume Mississippi State sports, man, there's so many good people, and it's those were two of them, and they're going to be missed. But man, it makes you want to go hug your friends, right?
Well, we're gonna go to the ballpark in a little while, Charlie.
I still need a hug.
I'm not gonna give you a hug.
Not from you, but
no. All right, we'll go to the ballpark today.
If you see Bart today, give him a hug.
Oh man, I tell you. The look on your face the other night, I shouldn't have said it when I said something about Cam Shulkey had to throw four strikes at two different batters, and I was not very happy with Jeff strikes on at that time, and I shouldn't have said that.
And keep this in mind when we say that a pitch was about a ball outside, that's not just a guess. Here's what has been very interesting to me, by the way, is watching that strike zone on every pitch. And watching the video, people are wrong a lot on what they think is a strike.
They are.
And the things that go into them being wrong are, one, how close does a guy stand to the plate? Well, some of these guys get up and stand right up on top of the plate, and the guy will run a fastball over the inside part of the plate, and all our fans think was inside. And not just our fans. I mean, fans anywhere.
In general.
But it's not in relation to the hitter, at least in that respect. It's in relation to the plate. The second thing I think that people miss a lot is there's way more strike zone up than sometimes people will see.
Yeah.
The other thing that I've noticed there is the high strike on a fastball is going to get called much, much more often than the high strike on the breaking pitch.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing a lot of breaking pitches at the top zone don't get called. We're seeing balls typically low that get called. The thing that happened to Schulke the other day, he was getting the same in and out that everybody else was getting. When Jeff Head was calling the game, there were some calls that were called strikes. They weren't in the zone. But they were, if you were doing a predictive strike zone, his expected strike zone, he was pretty consistent.
He had a tough time with a pitch that was at the bottom of the zone.
He did. That's where, and particularly with Schulke. The other thing is, if you notice, he was lining up inside the left-handers. And so he was giving more room on a pitch inside the lefties than he was outside. I mean, it was coming right into his field of vision. So, in any event, that's my
– yeah. All right, let's get out of here. Let's play a baseball game at 1 o'clock today. We don't know who's playing. We don't know who's pitching. But, dadgummit, we're going to be there, and we're going to talk about it in an objective way. We are going to – Charlie and I are going to adhere to what we are told when the season begins. When they read us the riot act and say, you are supposed to split this broadcast down the middle and be objective. That's what you're going to get out of us today. Maybe, maybe not.
Well, I will say this, and I want to emphasize it. I will be absolutely objective as it relates to the University of Georgia and their baseball team because nothing I've said is directed to them.
No.
Nothing.
All right. However, yeah, whoever made that decision, that was bad. That was really bad. Hey, appreciate you guys hanging out with us on a Sunday coffee. We'll be back later this week. We'll talk about next weekend's game, but hope you and yours, you got plenty of time to get to the ballpark today.
But we're like FM. If news breaks, we'll break in.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us.